A whole lot happening, of course, but we do have, of course, Bruce Whitfield out in Davos, Switzerland.
Arbile, thank you. Day two in Davos, and Team South Africa has been working hard to convince investors the country is not only open for business, but making real progress in the structural reforms that's been promising for ages. The structural reforms required to grow the economy and create a sense of optimism for the future. I ended up in a really interesting discussion this morning as a fly on the wall, and I wouldn't even have known that it was on had Patrice Motsepe not been looking to distract me. I was trying to convince him to give me some of his impressions of Davos this morning, but he is notoriously wary of microphones, as you know. So instead, he introduced me to Ivan Glazenberg, the South African-born founder of the commodities trading firm Glencore, which, incidentally, today we saw is considering big job cuts in its JV partner Merafe, their Rustenburg smelter, because of irregular and, yes, expensive electricity. The next thing, there I am talking to Ivan Glazenberg and to Patrice Motsepe, and Richard Quest from CNN ambles over to say, hello. And then we're hoping to connect with him tomorrow, so we'll share his impressions on the 50th annual Davos gathering tomorrow. But forgive my name dropping, but Davos is that kind of place. You leave the convention center, and within 200 meters of the place, for example, I saw George Osborne shuffling around and looking at the ground and not looking for attention, the former UK Chancellor. His ex-boss, David Cameron, I heard him before I saw him, barging his way down the Davos main drag. And not long after that, David Miliband, he might have been a UK Prime Minister, he not had a fallout with his brother Ed over the leadership of the Labour Party a decade ago. Certainly Davos is the best place in the world for people spotting past and present, from Donald Trump yesterday, who made no mention of global warming, to Al Gore today, who's always here, and Prince Charles adding a royal flair, talking about the global climate crisis, challenging business leaders. And this is such a good quote. He's saying, what good is all the wealth in the world if you can do nothing with it other than watch it burn? Maybe that would have got some ears burning in Davos. But back to the session with Team South Africa, smaller than normal government delegation led by Tito Mboweni, meeting worried investors. The Heineken finance director was in the room raising questions about power supply and water quality. They want to expand Heineken in South Africa. The head of government relations from PepsiCo, which is hoping to conclude its acquisition of Pioneer Foods in the next couple of weeks, talking about similar issues. The visa issue comes to the fore as well. Ericsson was in the room, Mahindra in the room, everybody wanting to do business, the existing South African businesses. APSA Deputy CEO Peter McLaren also in the room. I asked him what his impressions were of the gathering.
Bruce, as usual, great gathering, great meeting of minds. The challenges are big. You know, as we were driving in yesterday, it was incredible, just the lack of snow. A year ago, it was white all over. And in fact, the queues all along the way were enormous. Look at me today. I don't have a coat on. And that says to me, this global warming thing, it's real. It's with us. Anyway, I'm sure you want...
That is an interesting observation. You still got stuck in a traffic jam for an hour and a half, though, because the road from Zurich is Davos Central. It is one big traffic jam. This is a town that's quicker to walk around than drive around.
Precisely, but it's also a town where you're invariably going to walk into people that you've either seen on television or you've known for years. You can stop, you can chat. You don't have a sense of occasion. And for me, it's one of the better places to come to get a cleansing and a rejuvenation of the mind.
I mean, the Reserve Bank governor was wandering past here yesterday. We grabbed him. And then I saw David Cameron this morning and George Osborne, his chancellor, separately, going off to different things earlier. And it is that kind of place. You've been here four or five times. What do you get from coming to a place like this, which many people dismiss as this hoity-toity gathering of disconnected elites?
Yeah. So, Bruce, I've now come here for 3 years with APSA, if I be accurate. And every time I come here, it's precisely that, the ability to interact with a range of stakeholders. You know, we can become quite inwardly focused if we aren't too careful. And we kind of navel gaze about some real issues that we have in our country and our problem. Then you get perspective. You know, you run into somebody from Costa Rica who you've known, or you run into somebody from Argentina who would say to you, you know, where we are right now, we wish we were where you are right now. But more importantly, it's about, I think, getting that gathering of minds, that talk to you about the art of the possible, that which is desirable. And so it's a great place to come, Bruce, as cold as it can be from time to time, but it's a great place to come to.
South Africa's presence much smaller than in previous years. We hear it's almost as SA lights on a tight budget. But there was a session this morning where existing investors came to listen to Naledi Pandor, to Ebrahim Patel, and to Tito Mboweni. You were in that session. We both participated in it. You can either look at it as a glass half empty or as a glass half full session. Government giving lots of assurances, but some desperate concerns about water by Heineken, yep, electricity by everybody who was in the room.
Yes, I suppose two things again, Bruce. One, it was clear that there aren't always simple answers to complex questions and problems. What investors look for is for you to demonstrate that you are making progress in a tangible way. And I think they tried to do so. I think where we kill ourselves a lot of the time is our communication about what we do is particularly poor, and we've got to improve. And I'm not talking PR or spinning it. It's about absolutely showing what we do, what's the scorecard around a range of metrics and how these are improving, and being realistic about when they will come to fruition.
Did our government delegation succeed at that this morning?
Oh, I think they did. You know, I watched the three of them, and what was good, it wasn't rehearsed. You could see that they actually bounced off each other on key issues. You didn't get a sense of this was something that was somewhere in the can, as they would say in your wonderful world, and just played out there. And there was an authenticity about that, therefore. I just wish we could do that more at home.
Peter Matlari, the Deputy Chief Executive of APSA. Well, Richard Wainwright, the Head of Investec in South Africa, actually pretty confident about the future from a capital markets perspective.
I'm very bullish on the globe at the moment. I think there's a feeling of negativity, pessimism around here, particularly with respect to climate change. But as far as the global economy is concerned, IMF revised their growth rates up slightly. The US is pumping. You heard from Donald Trump yesterday. Some of my colleagues and myself were in America in October last year. I came back from the IMF meetings. They're very bullish about the globe. I'm even more bullish today, given the trade agreement that's been announced with China, phase one, and phase two to come, hopefully within a year. So from a global markets perspective, global economy, I'm reasonably bullish, more so than I was in October, and I've been telling my clients that, particularly in South Africa. As that affects emerging markets, I think the China trade deal, a strong American economy, a reasonable growth globally is good for emerging markets. We're one of them. In fact, the South African emerging market, as an emerging market, has the deepest, best financial markets, currencies, interest rates, bonds, equities to a lesser extent. So we should be the beneficiary of capital flows to start with.
And that's the so-called hot money. It's the money that comes and it goes and it ebbs and flows like the tides. What we need as a country is the fixed investment. I was in a session just this morning, South Africa investment session. Heineken was there, PepsiCo was there, some miners were there, existing South African investors saying, what are you doing about electricity? What are you doing about water? What are you doing about the security situation for our executives in your country? I mean, that's the next phase. It's all well and good to have money coming and going, but fixed investment is what we really need.
I agree, and we really need it from South Africans, South African companies. They will drive the change. We cannot rely on government. They have no fiscal space. We can't rely on the SOEs necessarily. They don't have any cash. They're overly indebted. I do think we have monetary policy space. And if we see Lesetja, thank you for the 25 basis points.
We had him on the show last night. We don't thank him for that kind of thing. And he doesn't seem to be in a rate-cutting mood. He is worried about the world where you are seeing the world as expanding and growing. He is more cautious. He is a central banker after all.
And that there are benefits to that for us, because it gives international investors, the hot money investment, a lot of confidence that we have an independent, very, very disciplined central banker. So that's good for us. We must leverage off that. But as I was saying, I think what's going to drive the change in South Africa is the private sector. It's the South African businesses. So what are they looking for? What changes are they looking for? What our Minister of Finance, Tito Mboweni, has been telling people is look for the structural reforms. Government will provide the necessary structural reforms to give us confidence which hopefully will lead to investments. In fact, I saw some graphs that was put up by one of our competitor banks recently at a meeting that we had with SARS around the last 10 years of investments. The private sector's actually held up, scaled back to 100. The government has declined slightly. SOEs have declined significantly over the last 10 years. The private sector in nominal terms has actually held up. What will change South Africa will be investment. So what structural reforms are actually going on? That's the key thing.
And that's Richard Wainwright on the streets of Davos. Yeah, those structural reforms are absolutely critical. You see so many really interesting things on the streets of Davos, including a solar-powered car. We bumped into Tessie Hartjes. She's from the Netherlands and a company called Lightyear One. Step aside, Elon Musk, because solar cars are coming and they think that they've got one over Tesla, praised by Donald Trump yesterday as being America's genius, Elon Musk. But our producer, Tikiso Anthony Lafifi, spoke to Tessie Hartjes just a little while ago.
Yeah, so the concept is actually about if we want to make sure that people can drive electric vehicles without having to wait for all the charging stations. So this car is able to provide people in the daily mobility needs without charging stations. And we do that by making the car very efficient, so it uses far less energy, and you can just use a normal power outlet to quickly recharge, and integrating solar cells. So the car charges itself.
It charges itself as it drives. And how many kilometers can you go after fully recharged?
So purely on the battery, you will have a range of around 700 kilometers. And then added to that is everything you get from the solar cells, which is, depending on where you live, on a yearly basis, somewhere between 8 and 23,000 kilometers.
Okay, and how many do you have on the market and where is it available?
So currently we do the pre-order system, just like Tesla. It's available for pre-orders in Europe right now. This is the only prototype we have at this point. And we're working towards first deliveries of a small volume in end of 2001.
Okay, and can you tell me about the solar panels? How many solar panels? How long do they survive?
So the solar panels, so the material that is used to cover the solar cells is the same as a windshield. And then the cells themselves, they can last for 20, 30 years, and they might degrade a little bit, but that's 5 to 10% at max.
Do you use fuel at all on this car?
No, it's purely electric.